to your neighbor and say, Chia. All right, for a dog, that's C-H-E-A. Soft C-H, Chia. Amen. I heard that song this morning, first service, and then I just got it. Like Neil, he's Armstrong. I like that. That's good. I didn't get it the first time. Faith comes by hearing and hearing. All right. Turn with me in your Bible to Proverbs 18. Proverbs 18. Talking about our tongue and the power of our tongue. God made us in an amazing way of what we can do on this earth. And what He has put in us, that's why the Bible says that we yield our members, we yield our body to the Holy Spirit. We yield to righteousness, to who we are on the inside. But it's possible to yield our members to the flesh, to other forces other than that which comes from God and from His kingdom. And so Proverbs 18 says, verse 20, a man's stomach shall be satisfied from the fruit of his mouth. From the produce of his lips he shall be filled. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. There is power in your mouth. In the words that you say, they are carriers of life or of death. And that verse in the Message Bible says, you choose. It's your choice. And so we've been looking at how we can unleash that power into our life, into our future, into our heart, our belief system, in line with God's word. But that verse also talks about that it can yield and it can give death. And last week we began to look at some of those areas of our life where our tongue can be used for other reasons other than life. And if you weren't here last week, we saw that in Proverbs chapter 6, that there are seven things that God hates. Another translation says He loathes with a passion. All right. This is something that God feels very, very strongly about. And they're not happy thoughts. All right. And the seven things that He hates in Proverbs 6 is a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift in running to do evil, a false witness who speaks lies, and one who sows discord among the brethren. And of those seven things that God hates, three of those things are with our mouth. And we began to define and see from God's word three different things that we can unleash and yield to death with our mouth: lying, slander, and gossip. And in Proverbs 10:18, it says, whoever hides hatred has lying lips, and whoever spreads slander is a fool. In the multitude of words, sin is not lacking, but he who restrains his lips is wise. We saw in the New Testament, the Greek word for one who slanders or a slanderer is the Greek word diabolos. And very, very similar to the word for the devil, which is diablo. All right. And we saw that Satan's nature, one of his job descriptions is that he is the accuser of the brethren. And the fact that he is means that God is not. Aren't you glad God is not an accuser of you? And so if we are accusing the brethren, we have joined forces with Satan to do his will and to do his wishes. All right. And James, in his epistle in chapter 3, how that with the very same mouth we worship God and yet we curse our brother and we bring fire and destruction. And James concluded that passage by saying, brethren, these things ought not be so among us. Amen? They ought not be that way. Now, Proverbs 26:20, we saw this. It says that where there is no wood, the fire goes out. And where there is no talebearer, strife ceases. So wherever you find strife, you will find the fuel of words that perpetuate and keep that strife going. As charcoal is to burning coals and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. Now, we looked at and we kind of defined, obviously, a lie is speaking an untruth. Slander is an untruth or a half-truth or a truth that is slanted in a certain way, but with the heart to injure or harm another person, all right, to be slanderous. Gossip is not necessarily maybe as intentionally malicious, but the effects are the same. It hurts another individual. Gossip, taking something that we hear and we spread it to others, all right? Passing information that need not be passed, all right? And God is very, very strong and clear in His Word that these things are sinful for a believer to be involved in. Now, I want to ask ourselves a question today is, well, Pastor, are we just supposed to kind of just not say anything about anything? What about wrong that goes on? What about things, people that are in our life or people that we know about that are doing wrong things? All right? What are you just advocating that we say nothing? Well, the Bible is clear about what we say, how we say it, and to whom do we say it to? All right? God is very clear about this, but I believe the underlying question that we ask in when we are dealing with a person and there's a problem or we have heard of something that's wrong or a sin or an injustice of some kind, the bottom line is, what is our motive? Is it love? Is it to help? Or is it to hurt? Is it to injure? And again, last week we saw that the Bible makes it very clear that God says, vengeance is mine, it belongs to me. So if vengeance belongs to God, then guess who it does not belong to? You. Now let's be honest, aren't there days you wish it were, but don't you wish it belonged to you? Have you ever prayed, Lord, if you want to mete out vengeance towards this person, I'm available. Use me, Lord, as you would. I promise you, He won't take you up on the offer. All right. So vengeance. So are we with our words? Are we looking to bring? Are we going to somehow sort out someone, or are we going to bring love and life to the situation? And really, your heart will lead you to the right decision, and the wrong heart will lead you to disobedience. And so really it's a matter of the motives of your heart first and foremost. Now, let love be our guide. Lies, slander, and gossip never, ever, ever come from a heart of love. They never come from a heart that is wanting to help and to build and help the situation, because it is opposed to God and is opposed to His nature. Romans 13:10. Turn with me there. Romans chapter 13 and verse 10. It says, love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. So, in our speaking, and as we come across knowledge, some of it that's not great, or a rumor, or this or that, the first question is, am I being motivated out of love? Or am I being motivated out of a heart to destroy, or a heart of judgment, a Pharisaical spirit that I'm right and everybody else is wrong? Okay. How do we deal with this about another person? Now, the Bible is going to be real clear about what we do and what we don't do. But I think, first of all, we have to identify some mindsets that are not biblical, all right? And that is that, well, Pastor, people need to know the truth. Oh, really? That's not in the Bible. No, they need to know the truth about what that person did to me. They need to know the truth. I'm gonna expose it and bring it to light, because after all, the truth will set you free. Jesus said, the words that I speak to you, they are life and they are truth. And it's that truth that will set you free. It's the truth of this book. All right, now I don't know how much it rained at your house or it didn't rain at your house yesterday and today. So if you tell me the truth, that does not set me free. I don't know if your football team won yesterday, but if you tell me the truth about the scoreline, that does not set me free. It's truth, isn't it? All truth does not make us free. God is not an advocate of free speech. He is not, in his kingdom, an advocate of full disclosure about your life. Or do you realize that? Well, people have a right to know. That's not in the Bible. It's simply not from the Word of God. Now, let me say this. I think it's a great idea in a society that is a democracy for a free press. My family comes multi-generation of journalists, media, and those kinds of things. So as far as in society, the idea of being able to speak your mind and be able to have access to information, that's wonderful. But in God's kingdom, it's not the case. Do you know God doesn't have a website with all your sins on it? Videos he didn't post it on YouTube. In fact, he's the opposite. He is the one who forgave you and threw your sins into the sea of forgetfulness. And he told the world, he put a sign out and says, no fishing. Amen. God covers your sin. And we're going to see, there's this mindset that we're going to be like the world. Amen. God is not WikiLeaks. And neither are we in the kingdom of God. Many of you are in a profession where you understand the word confidentiality. If you're a lawyer, if you're an accountant, if you deal with finances, if you're representing someone else as a client, so to speak, that means that there's going to be some things that you find out that are, it's not for public information. You have access to that information based on the nature of what you do. And when you are a believer and you begin to show love and to show grace and to show mercy, people are going to come to you and confide in you. They're going to say, hey, I need to pray. People are going to start conversations like this. I've never told anyone this before. get ready, all right? They're going to have those kinds of conversations with you, all right? So what do you do with that information? Is that, you're going to post it on a blog? You're going to write a letter to the editor? What do you do with information when you find out that people are messed up? Now, here's the thing about living on planet Earth. We are called to live in relationship with each other. Amen? God told Adam before sin came onto the earth, he said, Adam, it is not good that you would be alone. And all the husbands said, amen. It is not good that man should be alone, all right? And so he wants us to live in heartfelt, deep, and honest and open relationships with each other. But how many of you have discovered as you have begun to have relationships that the people that you have relationships with are not perfect? They have flaws and warts and problems and sins. How many of you have discovered that about the people you have relationship with? Now here's a news flash. The people that you are in relationship with, they have discovered the same thing about you. So here's the big question. How do we have godly relationships with imperfect people? With people who do wrong things from time to time. People who sin. People who disappoint us. All right. How do we do this? Well, God is real clear in his word what we do with that information and what we do not do with that information. All right. Let's look at Proverbs 10. Proverbs 10. First of all, what we do with the information about someone else's sin, firstly, out of love, we do not expose it. We do not expose it. Now, you are going to see today that the culture and the world that we live in is entirely and completely counter to this concept. Proverbs 10, verse 12. Hatred stirs up strife, But love covers all sins. Another translation says a multitude of sins. The NIV says, hatred stirs up dissension, but love covers all wrongs. Another translation says, hatred stirs up quarrels, but love covers all offenses. Now, one of the things, the reason why love covers is because God covers. In the New Testament, in the New Covenant that you and I live in, when Jesus came to the earth and he died on the cross, he took the sins of the whole world, past, present, and future, and he was judged in our place. And he paid the full payment for our sins. The Bible word for that is propitiation. He paid it in full. He met the wrath and the justice of God for not only for our sin, but for the sin of the whole world. That's why the gospel is good news. Amen? Now, in the Old Testament, God was forgiving sin on credit. That is, he was forgiving sin knowing that Calvary was coming. And Hebrews makes it very clear that the blood of bulls and goats could never take away sins. But what we have in the Old Testament, the word is atonement. That you would go and there would be a system or a series of sacrifices that sin would be covered, is the Bible word. Atonement means to cover. You see, God is in the cover-up business. Let me try over here. God is in the cover-up business. Now, we have to understand his job and our job. We are not in the cover-up business. The Bible says, confess your sins. Amen? Confess them to God. Confess them to one another. We bring them to the light. Amen? We expose our sin to God, to each other. We don't hide them. Amen? But what we do is we cannot expose others' sins on their behalf. That's something they have to do for God. That's their responsibility. All right? But love covers sins. Proverbs 11:13, just turn the page. Proverbs 11:13 says, a talebearer reveals secrets, but he who is of a faithful spirit conceals a matter. New Living Translation says, a gossip goes around revealing secrets, but those who are trustworthy can keep a confidence. Message Bible puts it this way, a gadabout gossip can't be trusted with a secret. But someone of integrity will not violate a confidence. Now, the world that we live in has an insatiable appetite for what is going on with someone else. There are entire magazines, there are entire publications, websites, TV channels, and all they want to do is tell you about the crazy misdeeds of your famous singer, your favorite actor or actress, and all they do are going to tell you what they really, really do in the secret. And they have paparazzi that fly over people's houses. Why? Just to give you that information. You see, the world, and somehow we feel our life is better when we know what happened to the pop star. And if she got beat up, or if this one did drugs. Do you realize what a shallow type of life people are living? Do you realize how much people love to hear this kind of stuff? And in the world, that's the way things operate. And in the world, we bring that over into the church. Did you hear what happened to Brother so-and-so? No, I didn't. Please tell me. I would love to know. The truth will set me free. After all, I have a right to know. No, you don't have a right to know. You see, with you and God and other people, you're on a need-to-know basis. And there's some things you don't need to know. About other people and about their problems and about their sin, unless you are there to help the situation. Or are you there to spread slander and to spread gossip? All right. Now, let's look at a Bible example of what to do when someone that you love messes up. What to do when someone that you respect and look up to messes up. They shouldn't be messing up, but they did. What do you do? Genesis chapter 9. Genesis chapter 9. Noah was obedient to the Lord in an amazing way. Rain had never come to the earth. God said, build an ark. What's an ark? I'm going to destroy the earth with a flood. What's a flood? No, it's going to rain. What's rain? This was incredible obedience that this man had for over 100 years, building an ark based on simply believing that God was true. Everyone made fun of him. Everyone couldn't believe what he was doing. And yet, the Bible says he prepared an ark in faith, and he saved him and his household. All right, so how many of you know Noah made the Faith Hall of Fame in Hebrews 11? I mean, this is faith guy. He's awesome. And he's done some incredible things with his life. All right, now, Genesis 9, after the flood, Noah retires from the shipbuilding business. He retires from being a sailor and a transporter of animals, and he becomes a farmer. All right, now there's dry ground. And Noah began to be a farmer, and he planted a vineyard. This is Genesis 9:20, verse 21. And he drank of the wine and was drunk and became uncovered in his tent. Uncovered, that's a polite way of saying naked. There are other translations that say Noah was drunk and naked. All right. Now, I've heard some people say, well, because the earth was different, Noah didn't realize that he was going to get drunk. Well, I really can't comment on that. I don't know. But what we do know is he was drunk, and the Bible condemns drunkenness, right? So was Noah supposed to be drunk and naked? No. You know, drunk and other things usually don't go well together. Usually it's drunkenness and something. And so that's one of the reasons why God doesn't want us to be drunk. So here is Noah is drunk, he's naked, he has messed up, and it is public, all right? It's out in the open, and someone saw it. Ham, this is Noah's son, Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father. Now, was that wrong to see the nakedness? I don't know, maybe he was delivering Noah a cup of tea. Maybe he was giving him a report about how the crops were doing. He stumbled across his father's sin. Now, here's the issue. What do you do when you find someone in sin? Whether that person is, you know, we're talking about believers now, okay? Because sinners sin. That's their nature. That's what they do. So it's not a real shock to discover that a sinner sins. For a believer, it's no longer our nature. We have to yield to sin in order to do it. Okay? It's note that sin has no more dominion over us. It's not supposed to be happening. It's wrong. Just like this with Noah, it's wrong. All right? So he discovers his father's sin, and he told his two brothers outside. But Shem and Japheth, the two brothers that he told, took a garment, laid it on both their shoulders, and went backward and covered, everybody say cover, covered the nakedness of their father. Their faces were turned away, so they did not see their father's nakedness. So do you get the picture here? So Ham goes in, sees his father's nakedness, sees him drunken, and he goes out and he broadcasts it. He tells. He exposes. He brings to light. His two brothers get a blanket, and to honor their father, they don't even want to see it. So they walk backwards and cover their father. What are they doing? It's called honor. It's called respect. It's called love. And let's see what were the results of this. So Noah awoke from his wine, and he knew what his younger son had done to him, and he said, cursed be Canaan A servant of servants he shall be to his brethren. And he said, blessed be the Lord, the God of Shem, and may Canaan be his servant. May God enlarge Japheth, and may he dwell in the tents of Shem, and may Canaan be his servant. So who was blessed? The coverers. The ones who did not see nor expose their father's sin. Who was cursed? The gossiper. The slanderer. The one who broadcast the sin. Now here, did he get it wrong? Did Ham get it wrong? No, he just told what he saw, and he got in trouble for telling what he saw. Oh, well, there should be like a whistleblower's agreement in the Bible. No, there's not. The Holy Ghost is the whistleblower. Amen? Now, we're going to see what we can do proactively to help someone that we know who is in sin, who has made a mistake, and what the Bible tells us to do. There was a curse and there was a blessing given to these gentlemen based on what they did with their father's sin. Are you following me today? And like I said, the more you walk with Jesus and the closer you get to him and the more his character is revealed in your life, the more sin you're going to see. The more sin you're going to be aware of. I remember a very good friend of mine. He was a traveling minister for many, many years, and he would travel from church to church and do revival and teaching. And God blessed him. And then God settled in his heart. He said, you know, I want you to now settle and plant a church and start a church. And he began to do that. And he called me at about 2 years into this. And the church now is quite large. It's over 3,000 people. But at the time, it was a couple hundred people. And he said, Walker, he said, now that I'm a pastor, he said, I had no idea how many times and how much Christians sin. Why? Because now he was involved in their life. Now they were coming to him for help. People that on Sunday morning looked like happy clappies. On Friday night, they weren't happy or clappy. They were involved in stuff they shouldn't be in. And so, but by being in those people's lives, he was able to bring life and help and love. But he became aware more of what people were, and I believe it was because God could trust him to help these people and to help them rise up. All right? Now, so you're saying, well, Pastor, should we just sweep everything under the rug? Should we just kind of go around with our eyes closed and our mouth closed and just pretend that things aren't? No. The Bible doesn't advocate that at all. The question is, again, what's your heart motive? Are you there to help or are you there to hurt? And then secondly, where do you go with the information? Where do you go with someone's sin or shortcoming? Where do you go? What direction do you take it? That's the real question. Okay? Turn with me to Matthew chapter 18. We alluded to this last week, but I want us to take some time and really go see what the scriptures teach. Remember, the relationships that we're going to be in are going to be with people who are not yet fully mature, and neither are you. So there are going to be times in our life where we have connections with other people, this passage is going to apply. Now, this is talking about the relationships that we have with brothers and sisters in the Lord. All right? So whether it's a member of this church or people outside of this church who are Christians, who are believers, here's how we handle life. Matthew 18, verse 15. Moreover, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. Everybody say alone. See, it's a private meeting, isn't it? I believe wholeheartedly that this is perhaps, maybe, the one verse in the Bible that is obeyed the least by Christians on a consistent basis. I believe the command that is most obeyed is when God told Adam and Eve, be fruitful and multiply. We seem to have gotten that one right. These words are in red. The Lord Jesus Christ, your good shepherd, the one, the savior of your soul, the one who owns the title deed to your life, who shed his own blood, gave you instruction and gave you a command about what to do when you have a problem with a brother, when you have a problem with a sister, a Christian, a fellow believer. You go to the person. You go to them. Now, what you're going to see is that you are only responsible for your side of the story, of the interaction. You can do your part biblically and correctly and in love, and the other person can still not respond correctly. And God will give us the next case scenario of what to do when they don't respond right. Okay, so let's look at the best case scenario. Go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he hears you, you have gained your brother. You see, that's what God wants to happen. He wants there to be forgiveness. He wants there to be communication. Maybe your brother is in ignorance. Maybe they don't realize. Maybe their judgment has been clouded. Whatever reason, but you go to them and they hear you and they go, you know what? You are right. I was dumb. I sinned against you. I am so sorry. Forgive me. And it's handled right there. Who knows about their sin? No one. Only you and them. Love. What does love do? It covers. Does love broadcast? But unfortunately, many Christians who consider themselves spiritual, who consider themselves spirit-filled, instead of obeying the words of Jesus, when a brother has sinned, they do not go to their brother, they go to the brother's brother. Hey, I've got a prayer request. I know, I need to share something with you, and I just need you, this is confidential. I don't want you to share, I don't want you to tell anyone. What that means among church people is just tell one person at a time. Yeah, I'm very concerned. You know, I'm very concerned because, you know, the Bible, this, and oh, I tell you, you mask it in holiness, you mask it in piety, and then you disobey the Bible by broadcasting the sin of another. Friend, do you understand someone got cursed for this in the Bible? Let me just tell you, most of us better be very happy we live in the new covenant. Yeah. Thank God we live in a new and a better covenant where the blood of Jesus speaks for us. God doesn't tolerate this nonsense. All right? So we go to someone else, and I don't know why. Maybe because you lack the courage to talk to the person. Maybe because you just want to harm them. Maybe you want to bring it to light. Maybe you just think, you know, you're God's Larry King. I don't know what you think, but it's wrong. Go to your brother, and he may hear you. And it's settled, and only two people know, you and him, you and that person. It's a done deal. Praise the Lord. Now, if it was going to work out that way every time, Jesus wouldn't have to give us the next few verses. The fact is, it doesn't always work that way. People have a response. They have a will. They have a choice. Verse 16, but if he will not hear, take with you one or two. Now, what does that mean? What does one or two mean? It means one or two, right? But it says, take with you one or two and then go back to him. It doesn't say go to one or two and disparage them. Well, I tell you what, I did that Pastor Walker Bible thing, and boy, I tell you what, they began to tell me all kinds of stuff, and so I just had it. I tried that Bible. It just doesn't work. You should hear what they did to me. Did you hear what that person did at work? Did you hear what happened? No, that's not the Bible. You don't ever get to do that. Take one or two with you. Go to the person so that there can be a witness and try again. And maybe that will work. And then if that doesn't work, guess what you get to do? You try again. How many of you know the Lord's mercy endures forever? So you go again, and this time you go to the church. All right, well, now, to the church means the leadership of the church. Or you say, hey, I need some folks, Pastor William, can you all help me? We've got this dispute, and this person has sinned, and it is not where I've done the Bible. I've seen them. But can you help? And we've done that before. Thank God people do that. All right? Now, after three times, they still might not listen. All right? If he refuses to hear the church, let him be to you like a heathen or a tax collector. Now, what does that mean? Well, how many of you know in the Gospels, Jesus loved the heathen? He loved tax collectors, right? He ate with them. But what I believe it means is that, see, this is talking about a brother, and you expect a brother or a sister to act like a Christian, because we're all reading from the same script. We're all reading from the same guidebook, right? So if after three times they refuse to live like a Christian, then you say, you know what? I'm not even going to expect you to live like a Christian anymore. I'm just going to think of you as a heathen, because that's what you've proved in your actions based on what you've done. Are you following me? And therefore, then the relationship tends to be one way. I'm going to love you, but we're really not going to relate as brothers and sisters in the Lord. And I'm going to now love you and care for you, but I'm not going to have my life connected to you because you're not acting like a Christian. All right? Now, here's the thing. Where do you go with the sin? Do you go to the person? Do you talk to them about it? If you do, you're acting like God. Because what does God do with us? When you and I have made a mistake, what does the Holy Spirit begin to do? He begins talking to you, doesn't he? He begins dealing with you. You start reading Bible verses. You hear sermons, right? See, in the Old Testament, God had to use the prophet to get David's attention about his sin with Bathsheba. He went through Nathan because David did not... He did not have the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit like you and I do. So if God wanted to communicate a message, he had to send someone to give it. See, God doesn't speak to us by the voice of the prophet in our days. He speaks to us by the voice of his Son, by the Holy Ghost, and by the Word of God that we have. Amen? There's a whole different ministry of the prophet in the New Testament. It's completely, completely different because of the work of the Holy Spirit. So when we care about the person and we care about the issue, we go to that person, all right? We go out of love. But going out to others, whether it's lies or slander or gossip, cannot be done from a heart of love. It is not being done from love. It causes damage, and disobeying Matthew 18 is a sin. God in his kingdom is not an advocate of free speech. We don't get to say whatever we want to say. He is not an advocate of the full disclosure of your life for everyone else. Amen? Aren't you glad? Amen? Aren't you glad that when we didn't receive you as a member, we put up on the video screen, and now we're just going to have a chat about here, Mr. Joe here. Praise God, Mr. Joe. Here is your life. And we look at all the wrong things you've done. Well, now that we know about Joe, praise the Lord, it's all forgiven. You're in the kingdom. No. No. God is not that way. Words are carriers. What are you carrying? What are you carrying with your words? Now, Matthew 18 is clear. But let's be honest. It is a challenge to live that out. takes less courage to tell someone else than it is to go to that person. And typically what people do is they say, well, they wouldn't have listened to me. Unfortunately, Jesus didn't say that. He didn't say, go to your brother unless you have incredible discernment and know that they won't listen to you. There's no caveats. There's no commas or parentheses. There's no exceptions. You go to the person. Now, whether they hear you or listen is completely up to them. And they will be responsible between them and God for their response. But you are responsible to God for what you do. And we can only obey our side of the verse and our side of the Bible. I remember about, 12 years ago, a situation that I was in. And I came across a deal, and there was sin in somebody's life, and I was scared to death to talk to the person. My hands were trembling. Okay? My palms were sweaty. I put it off day after day, week after week, until finally I talked to the, and my voice was cracking. I mean, I was like a 13-year-old boy trying to ask a girl out for the first time or something, you know? It was a near-death experience. It was hard. But you know what? In life, you've just got to man up and do it. You've got to be a woman of God. You've got to be a man of God and cross the line of obedience and say, all right, Jesus, you said it. I'm going to do it. And do you know what blessing I found? Do you know how much help that other person found? And they went and found help for their sin, and they came to me later. And they thanked me for talking to them about the situation. They thanked me. Well, Pastor, who are you talking about? I'm not telling you. I didn't tell my wife. It wasn't her business. It was between me and them. It was between me and them. And thank God the first verse worked. They received me. They repented. They listened. And it was a glorious, glorious opportunity. Now, did it scare me half to death? Yes. Is this a fun verse to obey? Not always. But you see, we don't treat the Bible like a buffet. Well, I like the singing and the praising, tithing. Oh, no, thank you. No, thank you. I don't take tithing. Confronting your brother. Oh, no, I don't take that. No, thank you. Thank you, though. Thanks for asking. You know, and when we just kind of go through the Bible as if we get to pick and choose where we want to obey it. Here's the deal, folks. We are not our own. We have been bought with a price. And yes, Jesus is our Savior. He is our free ticket to heaven. He is the one who saves and heals and forgives. But He is also our Lord. He is the Buona of our life. And He has the right to say, it is my way or the highway. He does not ask for our input into His decisions. Because He knows this is the way you're going to be blessed, and this is the way life is going to work out for you. Amen? And so we simply have to stand up and obey. And I want to encourage you. I believe some of you, there are some very difficult conversations that you need to have. Now, the way our body is made up and the way our nature is made up is we are attracted to pleasure and we run away from pain. That's why there are certain days of the morning where I have to be out early in the morning before 6 o'clock and I'm driving around. Do you know how few people are running on the road at 5:45? Near where I live, there's this, I'd like to stop and interview him one time, but there's this gray-haired man. Every morning I find him running. But do you know he does not have to bump into a lot of people? Because there are a lot of people that are adverse to that type of pain and that type of discipline. of what they know is good for their body. And so if we see this as painful, as we see this as something that's going to be hard, we're going to run away from it. But see here, the Bible tells us that the commandments of the Lord are not grievous. This is a path of blessing. Go to your brother. Go to your sister. And say, you know what, I've been putting this off. And I want you to forgive me. If you've done something wrong, you go ahead and you go first and say, boy, I've been wrong. But brother, I need to share this with you. You've sinned. You've sinned against me. I want to address this with you. Amen. Tell your neighbor, I do that. Here's the deal. When we cross the line of obedience, when we take that step, the Holy Spirit graces us and equips us to do the right thing. And the first step is sometimes a step of faith, but the Holy Spirit will equip you and help you to do the Word of God. Amen? Now, I wish I could share something with you today that would have you shouting and screaming and waving your hanky in the air. But I can promise you that the blessing that will be in your life, in your relationships, in your family, in your business, wherever you're connected with people who are imperfect, months and years to come, you'll be waving your hanky because of the joy that you'll find in the restoration and the peace and the love that you'll find and the confidence that will be there. Amen? See, God is looking for people whom He can trust. The Bible says the eyes of the Lord are on the whole earth. He's looking for people He can use. And some of you have prayed, Lord, use me. Lord, use me in your kingdom. He can't because you've got a big mouth. He can't. He won't. Until you make a decision to change. And until there's been time in life where He can see there is a change. Otherwise, He knows that He is going to give information and allow people to pour out their hearts to you. And you're going to spread it. Amen? Are you a trustworthy person? What do people in your family think of you? Or are you the troublemaker? Are you the stirrer of strife? Are you the faithful man, the faithful woman who conceals a matter, who handles a matter biblically and watches and sees the blessing of God? Amen? You see, the Bible is our guidebook of life. And this is one area that we have to listen to the Lord and be obedient to Him. Amen? Would you bow your head with me? Would you bow your head with me? There are two things I believe God wants to do in our life today. One is for us to make a decision that I'm going to live my life this way. And you can dedicate and say, Lord, I'm going to, whether you have been that way or you haven't been that way, you can be this way. And then secondly, we can help others be this way. In Psalm 50, David said, speaking about someone else, he said, you sit and speak against your own brother and you slander your own mother's son. These things you have done and I kept silent. You thought I was altogether like you. See, some of you are in areas or you're mingling with people where there's slander and there's gossip and you don't speak up. Guess what? They think that you're like them when you keep your mouth shut. David said this, but I will rebuke you and set them in order before your eyes. You need to be honest with your friends. Ask them a simple question the next time they gossip or the next time they slander. If it's a brother, again, if it's a sinner, they're just sinning. But if it's a brother or a sister in the Lord, ask them. Well, have you gone to see your friend about that? Well, no. Well, you need to. Go. Come back and tell me how it goes. You need to go see them. Challenge them to obey the Bible. The Bible says iron sharpens iron. We encourage each other towards good works. And we can help each other in this area by exactly what David said. Don't let your ear be a dumping place, but also challenge them. Hey, wait a second. Sounds like you need to go see somebody. Sounds like you haven't obeyed the Bible. Wow. You need to. Have a voice in their life. Not as a Pharisee, but as a friend. Father, right now I pray for every person in this auditorium, Lord. Lord, your word is so wonderful. Lord, your ways are higher than our ways. Your thoughts are higher than our thoughts. Lord, we wouldn't really come up with this in just human reasoning. But Lord, you invite us to come up where you are, to think like you, to renew our mind. So Father, help us not only to think this way, to act this way, to obey your word in the normal everyday issues of life, having relationships with believers who are not perfect. Lord, you're calling us to maturity. You don't allow us to stay as children, as immature, as foolish. Lord, thank you that there's grace and mercy for everyone here who's ever missed it in this area. And Father, I pray that our eyes would be enlightened and we'd see you and your word for what it truly is. Thank you, Father, that you equip us to live this Christian life, that you equip us to follow you. Help us, Lord, even in difficult situations, even in hard conversations. Help us, Lord. May your spirit rest on each and every one. Lord, would not one leave this place not yielding to you, not hearing your voice. Thank you, Father. We'll partner with you on the right side and not the wrong side. If you're here today, you can change. It all starts with a decision. It starts with an admission. Say, Lord, your word is clear and I just simply haven't been living up to that. But I need to. I want to. Help me, Lord. Help me to live this way. Help me to fashion my relationships after this. Friend, if that's you, just repent right now. Make things right in your heart. Look to the Lord right now and he'll grace you. He'll help you. Right now, just talk to him. Talk to him. Talk to him right now.